Chapter 14. Where the Hot Springs Flow.
"We have no magic, few weapons," Caddy Bree whispered to her friends, lifting her hands in surrender. She stared in disbelief, for these were indeed drow, without doubt, in hair color and the varying hues of skin color, all with that dusky gray base. A patrol from Enzo Baranzon would have appeared no different, except for the outfits they wore and the swords and short spears they carried. The material of these blades was not familiar to Caddy Bree, for they were white or bluish-white, and one even shone fully blue. She couldn't really tell from this distance, but they looked more like ice than metal, somewhat translucent, or perhaps, she thought, it was some type of glass steel. She started slowly toward the newcomers, her hands raised and empty. The other three companions, all sitting, made no move, just stared at the unexpected drow. The Fox family, though, went running at the sight, but not away. Yipping and barking, they rushed for the drow, the adults bounding up before them and skidding to a stop, sitting excitedly, one lifting a paw and patting at the air. The figure farthest from the companions turned back to the tunnel and began signaling with his hands. Zacnaphane, who was closest to the newcomers, began moving his fingers to mimic the strange drow.
"He is calling two and four others," Jarlaxle whispered to Caddy Bree.
"We should run," Entreri whispered.
"Back out into the cold?" Caddy Bree said openly. "We'll die." The sound of her voice had five-hand crossbows coming up at them as one. One of the nearer drow asked, "How did you get here?" It took Caddy Bree a moment to understand the words. She recognized the language immediately as drow, but it sounded to her quite different from the language spoken in Menzo Baranzon, in both dialect and syntax, and with one word she did not recognize at all. Frighteningly, the syntax reminded her of that used by the Slad creature, masquerading as a drow in the cave they had taken as their first shelter in the Northland.
"They know the Silent Hand language," Jarlaxle whispered so that his nearby companions could hear. "Could a giant frog even do that?"
"Yet they sound like the other one," Caddy Bree replied in similarly quiet tones. "If that monster thought it was fooling actual drow of this land, wouldn't it?"
"Tell them nothing of the fight in the cave," Entreri whispered. "Nothing."
"How did you get here?" the drow man asked again, more insistently. "Well met," Jarlaxle answered in the drow tongue, using his most charming and gracious voice, as if they were old friends. "We came in to get out of the cold, nothing more." "Keep talking," the nearest of the newcomers prompted. "We would have died out there. We were surprised to find it warm in here, but without it..." Jarlaxle let it hang there with a shrug. "That is not what we have asked from you. How did you come to this region in the first place?" "We've been hiking for 10 days, looking for a long-lost associate." "It's been cold for 10 days, the doubting interrogator replied. Caddy Bree noted that his features were perhaps a bit less angular than those of most of the drow she had known. His white hair showed highlights of soft lavender and hung shoulder length, pulled back from his face. His eyes shone red. "You are hardly dressed for the wind and snow." "Their magic failed," put in another of the group, a woman with long, thick white hair tied up on one side and set with a shining blue pin. The others nodded. "You are protected. And now you are not," the first said to Jarlaxle. "Nor could we get to our supplies," Jarlaxle confirmed, putting a hand into his belt pouch. "This, too, is enchanted," he looked around. "I am sorry, but yes, we took some of the bounty we found here in this place. We did not know that this land was claimed." "It is of no concern. We would leave, but we'll die, surely." The drow questioner looked to his companions and shared nods, and they lowered their hand crossbows. Others came around the corner then, and still more rappelled down the sides of the glacier walls to land at the ready in the exit tunnel. "Who are you?" he asked Jarlaxle, then pointed to the mercenary and clarified, "You alone." The rogue stood slowly, showing his hands all the while, then dipped a polite bow. "I am known as Jarlaxle."
"I am Emelian," the drow replied.
"Well met." He gave a slight nod, nothing more. Unsurprisingly, the five seemed more focused on Caddy Bree and Intrary than on their two fellow drow, a trio whispering among themselves. "What is she?" Emelian asked, indicating Caddy Bree. "A woman." "Clearly." "But Darthiri? Keetri? And he, Keetri, yes?"
"Humans, both," Caddy Bree answered, for she understood Emelian's references, asking if she and Artemis and Treri were elven or half-elven.
"Humans?" Emelian remarked, clearly confused. "Never have I seen humans who look like this. His skin is too brown and she too tall."
"Southerners, then," said the drow woman standing beside Emelian.
"Yes, the south, from here at least," Jarlaxle answered, and he shot Caddy Bree a look, begging her to let him do the talking here.
"She is from beyond the Sea of Moving Ice, he from much farther, from the lands of hot sands and high sun."
"You are a long way from home," said the drow woman.
"A long-lost associate, you said," Emelian prompted.
"Yes, well, an associate," Jarlaxle corrected. "A woman, half drow, half elf."
"Her name?"
"She was called Dumweel," Emelian finished for him.
"Little Doe."
Caddy Bree gasped.
"My God, the sword was right. She is alive."
"How do you speak our language?" Emelian asked.
"I speak common drow," she said.
"It is only slightly different from your..."
"What you call common drow is polluted with the sounds of the lower plains," the woman drow told her. "Our distant kin have long lived near to other races in the deep Underdark, and thus their language has changed. If you know Little Doe, then you know that we are not enemies," Jarlaxle said.
"Dumweel was an enemy when first we met," Emelian replied sharply.
"You'll find no Queen of Spiders here."
"Good," Zacken and Treri both said together, and both blew heavy sighs of relief.
"I'm not going back into the dungeon of a drow priestess," and Treri quietly added. "I'll die here first."
"This is Caddy Bree," Jarlaxle explained, and he wagged his hand to silence Intrary. "Perhaps you have heard of her, or of her husband, Driz Doerden." Emelian looked around, but all of them just shook their heads.
"He is Avendrow?" Emelian asked.
"Avendrow?" Caddy Bree echoed.
"Evening," Jarlaxle told her. "Starlight Drow, Avendrow."
Caddy Bree and the others spent a long moment letting that digest, Caddy Bree staring at Jarlaxle and measuring him. A lot of the previous puzzles were beginning to make sense to her here, but this wasn't the place to throw her accusations.
"I am a priestess, but not of Loth," Caddy Bree said.
"Hardly of Loth.
My goddess is Mialiki."
She took a chance here with the admission, but if these people were living in such obvious harmony with such a brutal environment, there was a chance that they at least knew of the goddess of nature.
"The Forest Queen."
Their expressions and nods told her that she might have hit on a positive thing here.
"I called to her for you," she continued, "but she doesn't seem to hear me right now."
"I am Ilina," the woman said. "Your magic has diminished because of Twilight Autumn. The day is ending, the night begins. In this transition, the air will fill with magic of its own making. There is no room for the whispers of your gods or the enchantments of the ancient weave of Maestra. Even the dragons will not take wing for the next 10 days. After that, your magic will slowly return to you."
"Dragons? Lovely," Intrary muttered.
"In that case, if we may indulge your patience, we will remain right here, if you please, until then when we take our leave," Jarlaxle said. "And if possible, perhaps we might bring Dumweel with us."
"No," said Emelian. "You will not remain here. As to your leaving, that remains a question for others to answer."
"And Dumweel?" Caddy Bree asked.
"Shed your weapons," Emelian answered without answering. "All of them, and come along."
The companions looked to each other doubtfully, but they really had no choice. Without magic, without Tolmaril and Gwenivar and the Sunblade and their hellsteeds, without all of Jarlaxle's toys, they had little chance of fighting their way out of there. And where might they go in any case? In silent accord, they stood up and placed their weapons on the ground.
Surrounded by a dozen of the drow, weapons drawn, they started off soon after, deeper into the glacial rift. Catti Bree took some hope when they departed, for Alina and another of the group stayed behind and were feeding and playing with the family of foxes. The joy of the play was unlike anything she remembered from her short time in Menzo Berenzon.